Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you by Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Chet, and we're holding right at the Halakha Mishnah, Hamevi Get. So we've been talking until now about how we have a right to rely that a get is the get that was lost. Now we move on to the question of what gives us the right to actually deliver a get when we have no idea that the guy who commissioned the shliach to deliver the get is still alive. Let's say that the person sends a get, and he's sick, he's old. How do you know that you can just give that get to the woman who will then go and ignore the yibum and so on? How do you know that it's really a get bichlal? So, the Mishnah defines for us when it is that you can give a get based on a chazaka that the sholeach get was still alive. A maybe get, v'inicho zakeno chole, noten la b'cheskat shehu kayam. Since you have a chazaka, and we learn out the dinim of chazaka from various psukim, from the mitzvah, that you have a right to define things even though it's not in front of you, that you have a right to assume that something that was in a particular status remains in that status, and therefore you can give it to her, and she can rely 100% on this get. But if not, then we need to understand we could never give a get. Because if you can't rely on a chazaka, so then how in the world would we ever be able to be mekabel a get? The moment that we walk away from the guy, are we sure that he's alive? Somebody sends a get, it gets there, heaven knows how much later. Why in the world would we think that the guy is still alive? So that's all based on chazaka. Now there's other inyanim that would be nogea, this chazaka of his being alive. Let's say that she is a Bas Yisrael, and she is married to a Kohen. So now she's been eating truma based on her marriage to the Kohen. The guy goes overseas, and how does she know that he's still alive? Ochelet b'truma b'cheskat shehu kayam. Same thing is true. We rely on the chazaka. She was eating it before. She continues to eat it based on the assumption that he's still living. Hasholeach chatato m'medinat hayam. How about a case where a guy sends a korban chatas? Now, if he's not alive at the time that the chatas gets here, maybe months later, how could we bring a korban chatas for him if it would be a chatas hamesa? It's usher to bring something like that into the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, makrilim ota b'cheskat shehu kayam. We bring that korban chatas on the assumption that the man is still alive. So that means we have three cases here of assumptions of continuing life. One is that we'll deliver a get based on the assumption. The other is that she can continue to eat truma based on that assumption. And the third one is that we will be makriv a korban even though we're bringing something usher to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Mizbeach, based on the assumption that the guy is alive and therefore the korban is kosher. The Gemara, of course, will have to explain why we need three separate cases to tell me the same exact halacha of relying on a cheskas chayim. Omar Rava, you should know that even though the Mishnah claims that you can give a get even though you have no idea whether the guy is still alive. I mean, that's talking about, you know, an old man who's maybe 40, 50. In those days, that's pretty old. But an old man who's 80, how can you assume that he's alive? And what about if a guy, that's Dafka Zakin Shaloi Gia Ligvurot, or we're talking about a chole, he's just sick. Okay, most people recover. But a zaken shehigia legvurot, once he's 80 years old, or he's dying, he's a goses, where rov goses in lamita, over there you cannot assume that the guy is still alive. Eisvei abaye, how can you say that a guy's not alive just because he's 80? It says, maybe get v'nicho zaken afil ben me'ashana. It says even if it's 100 years old, 100 years old is a lot more than 80. No, ten la b'cheskat shehu kayam, you have the same exact cheskas chayim, and the actuarial tables are not the issue over here. Tiyufta. Well, Yeah, you're right. That seems to show very clearly that Rava's assumption that once you hit 80, you're basically a dead duck. That's no good. So we won't paskin like that. So that's a tiyufta. Or you could say, you can't really ask Akasha from actuarial tables once you've reached the 100. I mean, because obviously you could say that the person has an expected lifetime of 75, let's say, right? But once he's reached 100, he obviously is not part of that. So now the question is, so once he was iflig, once he is not in the general rule of how long people live, yeah, so forget it. So then he's iflig. So what would that be? So Rashi understands that that means that when it says in the pasuk v'im b'gvurot shmonim shana, it means during the 80s. Once he's out of the 80s, then he can live for a long time, you know. Very dangerous age from 80 to 90. But once you're 90 already, then it's okay. That could be. Okay, Lumaisa, we're talking about Mahalocha, but we don't really make any kind of distinctions. Rami Le Abaya L'Rabba. Now, we have a problem of a real contradiction over here, because here it says that Hamevi get v'nicho zakein ochole noten lo b'cheskat shu kayam. The problem is, how are you going to look at this brayta that says that if a kohen gives a wife a get, and he says to her that this get will be chal 1 minute before I die, sha'achat kodem lemitato, so then she is not allowed to eat truma. Immediately, she's not allowed to eat truma. I thought the Mishnah says we're not worried that maybe a guy is going to die. Omar Leis, so Rabbah says, what kind of question is that? Why would there be any connection between truma and gittin? Truma, after all, is efshar. I mean, you don't have to rely on the chazaka. What's going to happen to her if she doesn't eat truma? Is she going to die? I mean, she'll eat not truma. It's not the end of the world. But if we don't allow the chazaka to be functional for delivering a get, there'd be no such thing as delivering a get, ever. How can we ever deliver a get? That's horrifying. So we can't do that. So when it comes to truma, okay, we'll be machmir, because we'd prefer, if we have a way out, so we prefer not to rely on the chazaka if there's a way out. But in the case we're over here, if we start worrying about the chazaka, where we'll no longer be able to have a standard behavior for getting to deliver again, that we can't afford. And so, of course, we'll rely on a chazaka. But that's crazy, says the Gemara. The next case in the mission is about truma. What are you telling me? Truma is, what, I'm crazy asking for truma on getting? If the Mishnah talks about truma, okay, you want me to change the question? Fine. Click. I'll change the question from the next line in the Mishnah. So, fine. I won't ask from Truma on Gittin, okay? I'll ask from Truma on Truma. How about that? So the next line in the Mishnah, it's none. Bat Yisrael anisu ala kohen. V'halach ba'ala l'medinat hayam. Ochelet b'truma b'cheskat shu kayam. The Mishnah says she continues to eat Truma, okay? Now don't give me this stuff about there's a difference between Truma and Gittin. Now, you must admit it's a little bit strange that we ask the question when the next words in the Mishnah are the same case, right? My own feeling is, which Tosfos doesn't say, but I'm pretty convinced that this is true. The actual answer is, it's good that Moshe Forman came, because Tosfos addresses it, the answer according to Moshe Forman. But the teretz that I want to offer is very simple. That all that was the issue over here between Rabbah and Abaya is that Rabbah is trying to teach Abaya to ask the question correctly. Why are you asking me a question from Truma on from Gittin on Truma? It's ridiculous. You're not taking into consideration the fact that the Achav Chazoka is applicable when we don't have options. That's all. So then Abaya says, okay, fine, I'll phrase the question correctly. Okay, I hear what you're saying. So let me ask from the... That is, to me, 100% what's going on over here. However, Tosfos wanted to address Moshe Forman. So therefore, Tosfos says, why does the Gemara answer the question by saying, how can you compare Truma to Gittin? I mean, you got to be crazy. Don't you know that the next line in the Mishnah is Truma? Answers Tosfos, but the Gemara always does this, because the derech of the Gemara is to deal with what you're learning now, not what you know in 10 seconds from now by looking ahead, and not by knowing the entire sugya all at one time. You deal with what's in front of you, and then you move on. And this is the derech of the Gemara. Now, even if that might not be what's going on over here, it is a powerful message to those who seek to run ahead of themselves. Alrighty. Anyway, I hope that message, since Min HaShemayim, you tuned in right at the right moment, Moshe. We hope that the message came across. Okay. So therefore, says, now Abaya says, okay, but we do have a question with the issue of Truma, right? So how do you explain that? Okay, so now we can deal with the real issue. On the one hand, the Mishnah is telling us that the woman continues to eat truma, and she has a right to rely on the chazaka that her husband, the Kohen, is still alive. And yet, the Braita says that if he gives her a get that's going to be chal before he dies, that she has to stop eating the truma immediately. How do you explain that? Omer Avada Breder of Yitzchak, how do I explain that? It's not at all similar. Shinei Hatam, I mean, it's a totally different case, isn't it? Because, I mean, over here, the case is that the get will be chal a moment before he dies. So that means at some point, he is going to be not able to feed her truma, correct? Okay. So if at some point she is Asura in Achilas Truma, how do we know when that point is? So since that is a definite point, so she's always a Suffolk. I can't eat Truma. What does that have to do with the Chazaka? If I know for Vada'ut that she's going to be Asura, ask the Gemara, but you don't know Bevada'ut. I don't understand. Why are we assuming that he will die in her lifetime? And that therefore there's going to be a point in her life where she'll be vada asura to eat. That's not true. Maybe she'll die first. I mean, might the iu, might the bereisha, dilma ihi, might the bereisha. That's not a good answer. You do not know that at some point in her life she's going to be asura lechol betruma. So what's the real answer? Well, says Abaye, the real answer is that it's a machlokas tanoim, and we come back to our favorite brisa. What do you do when you buy yayin mibein akutim? Now, this is Rabbanei trying to show us this problem. So you bought this container of wine. Wait, you want to wave it around so we can see it. Thank you. You bought a container of wine. You don't have anything else because the haraya for months and months, you're waving the same container. So it's clear you don't have any other cup and you have nowhere to put your truma and your miser. So what do you do? So that was the famous, we just had this Mishnah, right? Alokeach yayin mibein akutim. So what do? So you make a tanai. Okay, so at the point where I will get a, and it's talking about it's right before Shabbos, you need to have the wine for Kiddush and so on. So you say, the two lugin that I'm going to be taking out of this for Truma, that's the 2%, that is Truma. The 10 lugin that I'm going to take out, which is the 10%, again, we talked about this earlier. I mean, if you took out 2%, how could you not take out 10%? Fine. So since chita achas poteres hasakri, we pretend. Okay, so approximately the 10. The 9 that's left, the 9% that's left, I'm taking out now from my sasheni. Then according to Rashi, mechal means you're mechalal it. According to Tosis, means mechal, you mix it with the water and you make kiddush right away. V'shotemiyat. Since it says shotemiyad, I'll show you what that means. Shotemiyad. To wait for the right moment, Rabbanea. All things come to those who have patience. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon argued. Why did they argue? Because they said, what happens if, I don't mean to be chas v'shalom, giving an iron heart to that beautiful cup, Rabbanea, but what happens if something happens to that beautiful cup? And then it ends up that you'll never have the opportunity of taking off the Trumas and Miseris if it smashes. And then, well, says Rabbi Meir, remember, when that happens, I'll worry about it. Oh, so that means we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi as to whether we need to worry that the cup will die. Well, if that's the case, then it's the same machlokas. Do we need to worry that the husband will die? So if you hold of Rabbi Shimon, that's why it says that the woman cannot eat truma. If he's worried that the cup will die, so he's worried that the man will die. Masha'in Cain, our mission that says she can continue to eat truma, that's going on Libra Rabbi Meir, Stamas Nisan Libra Rabbi Meir, and we don't have to worry that the man will die. Rava says, you don't have to make it a machlokas. Isn't there an obvious difference between we're worried that your husband died? No, we are not worried that your husband died. Drink your truma. Why? Because there's a chazaka that your husband did not die. Okay. In the case where you have an iser to drink that truma because your husband might die, what does that have to do with the chazaka? The chazaka is saying that he's currently alive. The chazaka is not saying that he will be alive. So since the get is going to be chal a minute before he dies, the chazaka has zero relevance. It's obvious, isn't it? I'm not contradicting the chazaka by saying I can't drink it because maybe he'll die now. Maybe he will. But he didn't die yet, so. Okay. So therefore, the relevance of the chazaka is the important nekuda, in which case, Rav is saying there's absolutely no connection between the case in the Mishnah and the case in the Braita. So Shema Yamut, yes, Ver Chashina. Omele Ravada Bar Masud L'Rav. Well, wait a minute. You're saying that everybody agrees to that? What about the problem of Barnea's cup or the node in the Mishnah that was talking about the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir? I mean, over there we're talking about maybe it will die, not maybe it did die, right? And you're saying that nonetheless, not everybody agrees, because according to Rabbi Meir, you don't have to worry even that it will die. So how are you saying that everybody holds the same thing? It's not true. They don't, because Rabbi Meir argues even in that case, Upligi. On review to me, discarta. I mean, don't you think there's a difference between a wine flask and a human life? I mean, how exactly do you intend to make sure that the human doesn't die? There's not much you can do about that. But you can take very good care of a wine flask and make sure that it doesn't break. So what's the question? So Rabbi Meir is just saying, I don't know, I give it over to someone to watch. I don't know, put it in a safety deposit box, whatever. So Efshe D'Maser Shiny Node, Efshe D'Maser Leila Shomer. So Rabbi Meir says, I'm not worried that the wine is going to spill out, but I am worried that this guy's life is going to spill out. So maybe Rav is absolutely right that everybody would be made up. Matkifla Rav Mesharshia, those kind of logistical answers are not very persuasive. You're saying that we have a way to insure. And how do we insure the insurer? It's all very nice. You gave it to somebody to watch. Right. And then the guy goes and gets drunk and he smashes it himself. Who's going to watch the guy that's watching? Ad infinitum. So forget about it. There's no way to take care of anything in life. Forget about a person dying. You can't make sure that Barnea's cup will survive even. Can you imagine? Now, of course, the Barnea, this is not an issue. I mean, a 1,900-year-old cup is, I mean, that's the kind of stuff he uses every day. So, I mean, it is a little far-fetched to suddenly worry that it's going to break. Okay, but for the normal humans, we're saying, it should be part of our concerns. So therefore, I mean, Rava, you can't really say that everybody agrees if Rabbi Meir doesn't agree. Okay, says Rava, if you want to learn that, so inachinami, shema meit lo chayshina. That's for sure. Everybody's going to agree that you rely on the chazaka. That's our Mishnah. As far as whether Shema Yamut, okay, could be that really Rabbi Meir wouldn't be worried even Shema Yamut. I don't know. Maybe the bright is not like like Rabbi Meir in that case. I can't prove it. And then we get to the next case in the Mishnah, which is that if somebody sends a korban chatas b'medinat hayam, then you're allowed to bring it. Wait a minute. I don't understand the whole case. How can you bring a chatas for somebody who is not present if one of the dinim of the chatas is that you need to do smicha on it? And that's when you say the vidui and everything. So how are you going to bring a chatas for him if we learn out specifically from a pasuk that you can't have a relative do the smicha, you can't have the bezdin do the smicha, nobody can do the smicha for him. It's only the Baal HaKorban that can do the smicha, and therefore we shouldn't be bringing this korban chatas anyway. Regardless of whether the guy is alive or not, that's not the point. So for habayin on smicha, Omar Rav Yosef, well, maybe it's talking about over here that this was a chatas behema that was sent by a woman. And we learn out from the pasuk that Beral B'nai Yisrael v'samchu, that only B'nai Yisrael are v'samchu and not B'not Yisrael v'samchu. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. I mean, why not? And we're just trying to find a case where we're trying to illustrate the chazaka. We're not talking about other ancillary questions. I mean, deal with it, you know. Or a papa says, you know, maybe it's talking about a chatas ha'of. Chatas ha'of, there's no din of smicha on ofot, but whatever. So don't worry about the smicha problem. We can figure out a case. But the important issue is that we don't have to worry about the person being alive or not because of the chazaka. Okay, so again, we have three different cases. And as we spoke at the beginning of when we learned the Mishnah, we're going to have to explain why it is that we need three different examples of the same yesod. The yesod being, there's a cheskas chayim, and you have a right to rely on the cheskas chayim. And then we bring three examples, for giving a get, for eating truma, if a woman is married to a kohen. And now we're bringing a third case for delivering a korban chatas and bringing it for him in the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's been 6 months since he sent the chatas. Why do we need all those three cases? Mitzricha. Because he yashmin and get, so I'll tell you why. If we would have known the din of get, it's like we said before. Get, Rabba pointed this out earlier, get is for sure not a riot to anything else. Because how do you intend to maintain the dinim of shlichas get unless you can rely on a chazaka? You can't make some kind of chumrah that I prefer not to rely on a chazaka and blow the dinim of shlichas get out of the world. You mean, then what are we going to do? So we have no choice. So over there, of course, we're talking about the Rabbanan didn't make any kind of takana not to rely on it. But that's Mishum de lo efshar. How would you intend to carry on normal life if people can't send gittin? Mashen came when it comes to truma. So we're saying, let the woman continue to eat truma. Let her not eat truma. I mean, what's a big deal? So, you know, she'll spend a little bit more on food. I mean, is that going to kill her? So maybe over there we shouldn't allow, I mean, even though, yes, you're right, technically, maybe you're right, so you can rely on the chazaka that her husband, the Kohen, is still alive. We prefer not to. Therefore, says the Mishnah, no, I do not make that kind of takana. She has to eat truma. Okay, so isn't that enough? No, because yashmina truma, I would have said, look, it's true that you can't say as a matter of course that her not being allowed to eat truma is a disaster. But it could be a disaster, couldn't it? I mean, in other words, imagine a case where the woman's husband has left her, gone away overseas. She has no income. She hasn't heard from her husband. She doesn't know what's going on. She can survive perfectly well as a nation's going by living off of truma. If we're going to tell her she can't eat truma either, so that is a catastrophe. So I understand it's not on the same level as an obvious catastrophic blow against delivering gittin, but it's still, why would we take a chance at making a takana and say, don't rely on the Torah's d'oraisa halacha of relying on a chazaka because you could do without it? How do you know you can do without it? Why should we say you can do without it? Okay, but to send a korban chatas, you don't send a korban chatas, bring the korban chatas yourself, you know. I mean, over there, we have a real problem. We have to actively go ahead and bring chulin la'azara. So, misveika lo eil chulin la'azara. Maybe over there I would be machmer, therefore tricha. The lotion, by the way, of chulin la'azara is really not very accurate, is it? I mean, what we're doing is we're bringing a chatas ha'mesa to the mizbeach. So it should say psule mizbeach, not chulin la'azara. There's actually some of the Achronim are Mechadesh that wherever you have a Kodesh that has no implications of being able to do anything with it, B'Kodesh, then it becomes, vis-a-vis this halacha of treating it as Kodesh, it becomes Chulin. Why are you bringing this here in the Beis HaMikdash? What are you going to do with it? It's the same idea of Chulin Lazar, and it loses any Kedusha because Kedusha has to have a Yichud for a purpose. That's the meaning of Kedusha. If it cannot have a Yichud for a purpose, because the Torah says it's supposed to be left to die, then it, by definition, how could it have Kedusha? Where's the Kedusha? It's a fascinating diuk from the Gemara. Okay, now this brings us to a very important moment in which Rabbi Barnea is going to continue to show what we do when we have to do Tenufa, but our Kapitan is going to show, unless he's really insulted by the Mishnah that insults 80-year-olds and so on, I can understand he's not wanting to show on a day like that, but remember, we were Docha, 100 is nothing, Rich, and you know, it's been almost no time at all since your 60th birthday party. We had so much fun. We're looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to the 100th. Any day now, right?
Rabbi, you're making a tremendous assumption. You're assuming when you say, I'm still here, you know?
It
could be that I'm already...
No, the Mishnah says, Richie was introduced the previous Mishnah, Richie will introduce the next Mishnah.
That's my belt, because keeping the ifluk.
Shlosha devarim, Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, lifnei chachamim, v'kimu et dvarav. So there were three things that Rebbe Elazar ben Parta had said that were nogea, the issues over here of the Cheskas Chaim, and they said that he's absolutely right. Suppose you have a city that has been surrounded by an invading army, and it's under siege. So, irshi kifua karkom. Now, generally, outcomes here cannot be guaranteed. So, if somebody's in a city like that, we know he was alive, and he sends a get. Or, how about a svina? That's mutrefet bayam. There is a boat that's been caught in a hurricane, and it's being really battered up, and it's sending out distress signals. Can you assume that the guy is alive? Or how about hayotzei lidon? Someone is about to be given a psak, whether he is chayev to be killed in the court. Said Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, in all such cases, there's still Becheskas Chaim. Just because it looks dangerous doesn't change the Chazakah. And you can assume that the city was not overrun and massacred. You can assume that the ship didn't sink. And you can assume that the guy wasn't put to death. What's the problem? But an Irshik Vashar Karko, if you're talking about a city where the walls have fallen and you've got these barbarians running through the city and killing everyone in sight. Now, that's a different situation. Asfinasha avdabayam, the ship has actually been lost in the yam. Now, lost in the yam, there's a little bit of a machlokas that we showed him where that means that we know for a fact that it's sunk, or we know that it has no ability to, let's say, it's got a leak, or it's lost its engines, it's lost its mechanisms for steering, and so on. Fine, but once it's in that kind of situation where it's the equivalent of rov gosis in lamisa, so then enochinami, we would have a serious suffix. If somebody was already paskin that he's going to be killed, he was sentenced to death, and he is on his way to execution. Over there, notnim aleihem chumrei chayim v'chumrei meitim. Now, we can't rely on 100% that he is dead, but we have to be choshesh. So that means we'd have to be machmir in both directions. What would that mean? Well, let's say it's a bat Yisrael who's married to a Kohen, and her husband, the Kohen, is on the ship lost at sea. Now, if Richie is not close by, you would have to be makbid not to allow her to eat truma, because without a hardy kapitan, probably the guy is dead. But on the other hand, if she is a bas kohen, and the only reason she couldn't eat truma was because she was married to a Yisrael, so could you say that now she can eat truma? No, you can't be sure. Just because Richie's not right there doesn't mean necessarily that no one could have rescued this guy. So maybe he is still alive. That's what we mean when we say we're makbid in both directions, to be machmir. Omer of Yosef, the only reason that we say we have to be machmir, that he might still be alive, even though he was on his way to be electrocuted or whatever, well, I shouldn't say electrocuted, because the only time that we would say this, that we have to be machmir, that maybe he's alive, is a Beis Din Shel Yisrael. Because a Beis Din Shel Yisrael does not necessarily carry out a judgment against the guy, because v'hitzilu ha'eda. And v'hitzilu ha'eda means we keep looking until the very last moment for ways to avoid executing him. Right? So we have that horse ready to run, and it's going to be just in case the Beis Din Paskin that he is, wait, we realize there may be a reason to bring him back, and they wave the flags, and the horse goes and catches up with them, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this is a big idea to try our best to save the guy. But if you're talking about a Beis Din Shel Ovdei Kochavim, and he's on his way to be executed, he didn't make it out of there alive. You can rely that for sure he's dead, and then you would not have to be machmer on her not to eat truma if she's a bas kohen, and we could tell her for sure your husband has been executed. Omalei Abaya, not true. A Beis Din Shel Ovdei Kochavim, what do you mean they're definitely going to execute him? Ha ha ha. If somebody walks over with a wad of money and waves it in front of their noses, they're definitely going to execute him? Get out of here. You can buy them off. So how do you know that they weren't bribed? It's the same thing. Mekabli shuchta. These aren't people that are going to carry out the din just because the court says carry out the din. Not if they can make money out of it. Omar Leiser, Rav Yosef said that's true to a point. But ki shakli mekamid yalachton pursi shenamak. The only time that they take the bribe is before the pursi shenamak. What in the world is a pursi shenamak? Whew. What a sound, right? Pursi shnamak. All right, so there's a little bit of a machlokas, but I mean, it certainly sounds Persian, doesn't it? So it is Persian. And it means, according to Rashi, it means the bill of execution. So in other words, the final mishpat hasn't been signed. If it's been signed, they can't get away with taking the shochat. Tosfos learns that the pursi shnamak is the mikado. It's the name of the guy, the chief guy on top. And if he's on it, then they're too scared to take the shochat. But you get the idea. And I was talking about, says Rabbi Yosef, lo basir demichtam porsi shnamak, lo shakle. I'm telling you, if Gilbert and Sullivan had heard about the porsi shnamak, the Mikado would have been a heck of a lot more funny. Meisve. Anyway, from the Mishnah, we seem to have a contradiction to Rabbi Yosef. The Mishnah says in Makkos, the koma kom shi yamdu shnai, the omru me'idim anu et ish ploni, that he was in a Beis Din, we were there, the Beis Din paskin that he's chayav to be killed, shenigmar dino, bebei dino shel ploni, and these were the edim that were there. So wherever such testimony is brought in front of a Beis Din, they'll kill that guy based on that psak. Right? So apparently he ran away. He managed to run away. We find him. We don't have to go through the whole din again. If there's witnesses that say he ran away after they already passed in the Sri of Misa, so he's killed. So what does that mean? It means, well, we're not Cheshish. Maybe they changed their mind. Maybe they were Matzaschus. Maybe the Tzilu Ha'edah changed everything. You said, Rabbi Yosef, we have to worry, and that's the basis of being machmer on him. Here it says we're not going to be machmer. Well, maybe it's different. I mean, the guy ran away, right? So if the guy ran away, the court is not being Isaac right now on how to save him. They say, all right, he got away. Goodbye. Good riddance. It's not up to us to try to save him. So that doesn't prove anything. Okay, but there's a braita that seems to prove it. Toshma. Shamami beitin shal Yisrael. Shayomrim ish ploni meit, ish ploni nerag. Let somebody get information from the Beis Din. Now, the halacha is that if somebody gets Malkus 3 times, he was over in Issacharis 3 times, so he is a recidivist that is never going to change, and he's going to keep being over this. So the halacha over there is that we're machnisim oto l'kippah and let him die like the Unabomber. Okay, so the guy dies in the court's special kippah, right? So if they say this guy died, or they say this guy actually was killed by Beis Din, ish ploni neherag, meaning with the actual chi of a mises Beis Din. So then, if he hears such a thing from a Beis Din and he reports it, then yasiu et ishto, we're mater his wife to marry again. But if he hears from some of these communists, mikamen trisin shalov dekacha, you can't trust the commie for nothing. Actually, a common trisin means a royal executioner. So that is not something that you can rely on. And if he says ish ploni meit or ish ploni neherag, so, you know, ish ploni meit would mean with this lovely way they used to kill people. You know, the Romans have all kinds of exciting ways to kill people. And maybe we'll bury him alive, you know. So he must have died. he wasn't killed. He just sort of died. Okay, so ish ploni meit or ish ploni nerag, we actually cut off his head, we hang him, whatever. Then, al yasiu et ishto. Okay, so, first of all, what exactly is the difference between meit and neherag? I mean, if what the Braita is saying is that he literally died, and he literally was killed, in other words, the court is reporting an actual event, right? So then, you're telling me that if the Beis Din says this, you believe it. But if Goyim say it, you don't believe it? Why wouldn't you believe it? So why does it say you can't believe it and you can't, and she's not allowed to get married? I thought the halacha is that you can trust even an Oved Kochavim who is not, doesn't have a particular agenda, and he's just Mesiach Lafi Tumo. And he was telling you a guy like this was killed in the court. I mean, so why can't you believe him? He's saying it already happened. Didn't we say that kol mesiach lefitumo himuni hamniole? That you do have a right to believe him, and we should allow his wife to marry. Therefore, when it says meit v'nerag, apparently it's not referring to his saying he actually died. He actually was killed. It means he was yotze lamut. Nerag means he was yotze lehare. And it says over here that in a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, we believe him. Why should we believe him? If it was Yotzei Lehareg, maybe the Beis Din were Zoche to be Matzil. So, I mean, this would mean that El Roi doesn't smile because there's no way that we could be Matzil, the guy. But if Rabbi Yosef is right, he should give us a big smile. Vitzilu Haida. So there, apparently, we don't agree with Rabbi Yosef. No, says the Gemara. Le'olam meit mamash, v'nerag mamash. Now you're asking me, so why can't I trust the Goyish court? Because there's no such thing as Mesiach lefituma when they have some kind of agenda, right? Well, of course they have an agenda. What's their agenda? Ho, 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 we killed that guy. We are a powerful court. We are people that seek justice. So whatever. I don't know what their hang-up is, but whatever it is, you can't imagine that they don't have some kind of agenda, okay? So the Ka'armet de Kavatega be'avadat kochavim, of the kochavim, why don't we believe him? Because you're asking, komesiach lefitumo, emune mehamne, this is not lefitumo. It's only something that they don't have any connection to. But over here, they have a connection to it because they're proud of themselves, you know. They may say lies just to make it seem that they could take credit for something. Okay, this was one approach to the discussion that we had about Rabbi Yosef, who said that in the event that it's a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, that's the reason that you have to be machmir. Actually, there's an opposite version that goes like this. Ikri Amri, Omer of Yosef, where did we say that we have to be worried that maybe the guy is still alive? That's only in a Beis Din Shel Ovdei Kochavim, because they accept all kinds of bribes and stuff like that. But a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom, that they would be ma'ana this person's din, and therefore, if they're taking him to kill him, so then you have to assume that he's dead. And you don't have to be machmir at all. Because given the nafik le'dina l'ktola, once the mishpat was yotze, that he's b'chuyev in one of the arba misas, so then the bezin are certainly going to be katlile. They're not going to play around. Well, you think this is like an American court where 12 years later the lawyers are still bringing, you know, and motions for a stay of execution. I mean, it's incredible. You know, speaking of Inui Hadin, all right, the guy's on death row. So over there, you can't rely on anything. Omale Abaye, well, how do you know that a Beis Din Shel Yisrael killed him? Maybe, so in this version, of course, we're asking for the very Sfora that in the first version was Rabbi Yosef's own Sfora. Why don't we say that a Beis Din Shel Yisrael, maybe they found a schus for him? So after the Chazilei Schusa? Nah, ki Chazilei Schusa mikami de ligmar dina. Where does a Beis Din find a schus? That's where they're working so hard. That's before we paskin. But once we paskined, sule Chazilei Schusa. Now, obviously, both Rashi and Tosafos speak out. I mean, this is ridiculous. Of course, we're Chazir Schus. That's the whole story in Sanhedrin. We have flags and iPhones, and I mean, everything that can be done to prevent the execution up until the very last moment. And how can you say that? So, what the Gemara means, says Tosafos and Rashi, is that it's very not shchiach. Because once we've gone through the whole Vitzilu Eida and he's on his way, I mean, like, how often is it going to be that you'll be chazir l'schusa at the last minute that would actually have been enough to save him? Remember, even if we bring him back and we give him a chance to re-argue, but, I mean, it's got to be a persuasive argument. So, yes, we'll call him back for any purpose, but in the end, we're going to for sure carry out the din. That's what it means when it says that it's not shchiach. It's not shliach at this point. Now, over here, in this version, we try to prove what Rav Yosef is saying, as opposed to the previous version. So, now, this should be a riot to Rav Yosef, what we asked as a kasha to Rav Yosef before. Because here it says, in the Mishnah and Makkos, that wherever people show up, and they identify here this guy, he ran away from the Beis Din, and this is the guy that ran away, and the Beis Din are already paskened, and so and so were the Edim, etc. Right? So it says over there, wherever this takes place, we don't redo the whole halacha, the whole mishpat, the Beis Din kills him. How could the Beis Din kill him? Maybe that original Beis Din ended up realizing that there was a schus for him. So as you see it inside again, so it seems to be a riot of Yosef, that once a psak is given, we do not have to entertain the possibility that it was changed. So the Gemara doesn't prove anything. Because since the guy ran away, so then the court stopped thinking about it, right? But if he hadn't run away, maybe we would have had to worry. I mean, it's obviously not a kasha on Rav Yosef, but you can't prove Rav Yosef categorically from here. And then we take the braita again. Tashma. Shama mi beit din shel Yisrael. Shoyim omrim ish ploni meit, ish ploni neherag. On that basis, she can get married. Yasiu et ishto. But if you hear it from the kamis, mi kamon es trisin shel ovdei kochavim, ish ploni meit, ish ploni neherag, al yasiu et ishto. And again, we're just going to go through the discussion. What do we mean when we say mate? And what do we mean when we say nerak? You mean that the court's telling us he actually died? And he was actually executed in the court? The kafosigabe of the kochavim? So then explain to me, why would we not trust the goyish court to say the same thing? Amaya yasiu et ishto? Don't we know that our kaimelon, that every mesiach lefitumai heimune mehamnele? It must mean, therefore, that mate is not literally died, but he was going out to die, or Nerag is going out to be executed. And it says that the Beis Din Shel Yisrael, you can rely on it, which basically says Rabbi Yosef is right. If a guy was only Paskin Misa, that's enough to be absolutely sure that he was killed, and you don't have to take into consideration that maybe they were Matzilim afterwards. So it's a riot to Rabbi Yosef. And, of course, the answer is the same thing that we said before. How do you know that it means he was going? Maybe he did die. And maybe he was executed. And that's what the president said. You're asking, why don't we believe the Goyish Accord? Don't we think that Kolam Yisiyach L'Fituma Himuei Mehemne? And as we explained before, this is not called Mesiach L'Fituma. Mesiach L'Fituma, this guy has nothing to do with it. It does not reflect on him in any way. He's not aware of any implications either in which he's going to be relied on for anything important. He's just talking about the news on the morning news. Something which does involve him on some level. And over here, these people like to claim that their court was very powerful and they get rid of the sinners, whatever. So over there, since he shaycheba, avdei lachazuke shikrayu, it is very likely that they are phonies and they only saw that he was going to be killed, but he wasn't really killed, and maybe he wasn't, and therefore you can't rely on them for sure. Okay, Rabosai, vihitzilu haida. And certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want to be matzil his Eda Kadesha, and we should be zochet to Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin, having brought us this far, having taken us out of Mitzrayim, having guaranteed Acharit Kereshit. What are we waiting for? So Bezrat Hashem, we shall see you in the Or of Agula Shlema, if we're zochet till tomorrow morning, and the Mishnah says, Cheskas Chai. So hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, we get to meet. See you then. Amen. Have a wonderful day.